Lily Nova with us talking about her ET experiences and her incredible astrophotography. We've got some of her work listed under her name at coasttocoastam.com, so go take a look. We'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Lily Nova. Her website is lilynovaspaceart.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I've got a couple emails about your pictures, Lily. They say you do a great job, but are you excited when you see these things fly?
Yes, I'm excited. It's like a kid in a candy store every time I see one.
You've always been a photographer, I take it, right?
Photography is something that I'm a little bit newer at.
Oh, are you really?
Artist. Yeah, yeah.
How did you know what kind of camera to get to take the pictures you take?
So I actually got a camera originally for content creation and was making nutrition and health videos. And then when COVID hit, I realized that you can take photos of the Milky Way in the night sky. So then I just became obsessed with that and was out every night practicing. And then it just took off from there.
Do you see anything differently through the lens of the camera than you do with the naked eye?
Yeah. And so you can take more closer up images. You can also take multiple images and stack them on top of each other, longer exposures that let in more light so that you can get pictures. With it being so dark, you can actually get, you can actually see what's going on by taking these longer exposure photos.
All right, let's take some calls for you. Let's go to John in Kentucky, east of the Rockies, to get things started. Go ahead, John.
Hi, George, the president of the airways and ambassador of all frequencies.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for taking my call. Lily, gosh, it's so great to hear this. In the Bible, scriptures, it says that God is the maker of the Orion and Pleiades and Arcturus and canst thou bind his sweet influences, the Pleiades and so forth. Do you think, and one question, do you think that it could be angelic? And also, I used to run a lot listening to Coast training for my marathons at 3 in the morning, and I seen a craft one time, and it had a variation of lights. I mean, it was in the area that it was landed upon, that there was been nothing, no vehicle or nothing could have got there, because I used to run at a state park and do several miles through 3 and 4 and 5 a.m. in the morning. And I was just wondering if you could have seen a craft that had like red, green, blue, and all kinds of crazy colors. And I thank you for taking my call. That's just it's really a good show tonight, George. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Let's start with that. Have you seen different colors on the craft in the pictures you take?
Yeah, especially some of these craft, they definitely look like they're made out of a different material, and some of them do shine just different colors, almost like if you look at the star Sirius, the brightest star in the sky, it flashes blue, red, green, white. I've noticed with some of these crafts, they appear, it almost appears like magic, and they will change colors. So, yes, I have seen that before.
What about a possibility that some of these encounters are angels?
Yeah, so I definitely believe that with some things that are in the Bible, I believe that some of them were in contact with extraterrestrials, probably specifically what comes to mind, the Pleiadians, because sometimes they can appear illuminated. And I have also seen beings that look like they're made out of light. And some of them have been extraterrestrial, some of them higher dimensional. During these visions, I've also seen angels before, and I didn't even know if angels were real or not before this. So I think it's all very closely connected. Definitely.
A lot of our guests have had ET encounters, one specifically, the mentalist Uri Geller, when he was much younger, of course, had a UFO experience. Do you think that this experience that you're having might enlighten you later on in life? giving you more psychic abilities or telepathy or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I feel like the past year and a half, they've been like my senseis. They've been teaching me and guiding me. And I never saw visions before this, but after they began visiting me, then I started having these visions, and I've been able to develop these gifts and access information and see things that I never even could have imagined in my wildest dreams. So they can definitely, it definitely sparks an awakening and a remembering and some sort of, it seems to activate something within you, being in contact with these beings and having these experiences. Definitely makes life more magical.
What has this experience done for you in terms of your feelings about spirituality and things like that?
Great question. And I was very surprised because when the UFOs first started coming and I was investigating them, I became a hardcore investigator looking at the physical and how does the science work. And I was very surprised to find that it ended up taking me down a spiritual journey. And I realized that it's all very interconnected. And a lot of these beings are very evolved and enlightened, too. So I think spirituality plays a key part in it. And that's just how it's how the universe works. You know, we're all linked. We're all connected through consciousness. And it's very interconnected. And I think that's how we go forward, is tapping back into, you know, who we really are and what's within us.
On the wild card line, Alan's with us in Naples, Florida. Hello, Alan. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? It's great to get a hold of you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is kind of a two-part story. You know,
okay.
I'll be quick, I promise.
That's all right.
Okay, so this is a few years ago. I'm from Naples, Florida. Do you know where the 10,000 islands are?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so I kayaked out there every weekend after work. I worked at a hospital.
Beautiful.
I saw lots of people die. And so I'm kayaking, I'm fishing, and I see this orb come straight out of the water. And it's pretty shallow out there. And I was like, what the heck is that, right? And it goes straight up in the air and disappears. And so I go back to eat brunch at the Capri Fish House. You know where Isla Capri is?
I know where the Isle of Capri is. That's right. There's
yes.
A great song about that, too.
I know the odor, right? And so I go there, and all the boat cops, Collier County Sheriff, hang out there and eat Sunday brunch. And I was freaked out. And I asked the cops, I go, did you guys see that? And they're like, yeah, we saw that. And none of us knew what it was. It was like four of us. And we saw that thing, and it was just like your guest. What's your guest's name?
Lily Nova.
Lily. Yeah. It's just like Lily was describing. Like, it's like, I can't even describe the color. Yeah. It was just like twirling, but it was a orb.
Well, we get a lot of reports, Lily, of undersea submersible objects. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, our friend here, Alan, saw one of those things.
Yeah, I think they probably have some underwater bases, too. They may be, you know, hiding down there.
That would have been a great picture for you, seeing it burst out of the ocean.
I'll add that to my bucket list.
Now, these pictures that you see, are you shooting or sometimes randomly into the sky and you just happen to capture something, or have you seen something up there?
So sometimes what I'll do is I'll set it up to take pictures, and this is after I learned I could make contact with them. At first it was, yeah, sometimes it was random where I was just, you know, hoping to get one, or sometimes I would see it and then I'd begin documenting it. But then when I realized I could make contact with them, I set my camera up on a time-lapse or a video, and I'll go in front of the camera and meditate or whatever, and I'll end up catching something. That may have just appeared just for a couple seconds and then, you know, went away.
Let's go to David in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Hey, Dave, go ahead.
Hi there, George and Lily. It's a blessing to talk to you. I have some information to add. Just I know the beings that Lily refers to, and 100% confident it is God. It is the Creator. It's the equivalent. They come as the third eye awakening. It encompasses all religion, all peoples, the Native American, everything I've seen. It encompasses every possible belief of spirituality. It's the original soma they talk about. The reason the confusion is God, they come as both dark and light. It's the same being.
Mm-hmm.
They have the metaphorical dark side and light side. It comes to which one we feed. Do we feed the lion or the lamb in them? If we ignore them improperly, we don't respect them, we feed the lion. If we respect them properly, we get along. Everything is equal. When I died, I had a death experience. It came to me August 2nd, 2019. It was profound. It was like I was struck by a venomous snake. I died instantly. They told me they were going to come to take me with them. It involves DMT, either through the use of drugs ritualistically. It can be any type of drug use, even with mental illness is often associated with it. It's the shaman. It's a shaman nature. Since this has happened, we're all going through a rapture right now. The rapture is happening. That's what happened. It's the equivalent of the rapture, and it involves the raptors, the dragons, the eagles. I'm serious about this. I'm related to William Tyndall, I believe.
All right. Well, let's get a little reaction from you, Lily, to this possibility that what you're looking at is godlike.
Yeah, like I said, I was surprised that when I began communicating more closely, it became very spiritual. And I sometimes it would come to me as God, and it would show me. I've seen Jesus, I've seen angels, I've seen these different extraterrestrials. So I've seen many different forms. I could relate to that.
Let's go to Durango, Colorado. Jeff's with us. Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hey,
hi, Lily.
Hi.
I can hear it in your voice that they're a lot closer to they're closer than cousins to you. and my dad was the guy that in the Dakota Fanning Taken series, the bomber pilot grandpa that started it.
Oh, really? How cool is that?
That's my dad. Okay. And he was the model for that only. He was in both wars, World War II and Korea. And he always said, this hardcore old fighter or bomber pilot, that we belong to them. They're ours. And when I listen to you, you're definitely hybrid. Those folks are your guardians, you know, your family. And what I've got visions of, number one, I have a recurrent dream where I'm in a kind of a Spartan, small space, but it's kind of ambient and pleasant. And I look in a mirror and I see me, but I'm blue.
Mm.
And the sense that like people talk about all their incarnations, well, in kind of hyperspace or transdimensional space, time is not a linear time is not dominant. So all of our facets are kind of a at once phenomena around our central self. By the way, this is the host of heaven. They know the boss and the boss knows them and the boss is Christ. And you're not wrong. Your experiences are absolutely super right. It's really a joy to hear you. Keep on keeping on. Like I say, they're your guardians.
All right, Jeffrey. Thanks.
You.
Let's talk a little bit more about that blue woman that you saw. Whatever happened to her?
So I was seeing her a lot in the beginning, and then I feel like after probably about like at least like 4 months of working real closely with her, she taught me a lot. She taught me, and that's when I started becoming spiritual. Then I stopped seeing her so much, and I started seeing these different beings. So I feel like she kind of came to me at a time to help me with something. But also, what I learned after a bit was that this blue being was another version of me, just like what the caller was just talking about. Time isn't a linear thing, and this kind of shocked me, but yeah, this woman was another version of me from a different plane.
Can anybody make contact, or do they have to have some motivation? What's going on?
I think you just need to have an open heart, pure intention, and an open mind, and you know, the desire to do so for, you know, it's something bigger than yourself, and I think anybody could with those guidelines.
Anybody? What if somebody's evil? Would it happen
then
for them?
Probably, then they probably shouldn't. but I mean, possibly they won't. They probably won't interact with the best types of beings. You know, the universe projects back to you what you're showing.
Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California, on the Wildcard Line. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Lily, and thank you, George. And you're very sensitive to the. The feelings of other people. I have to commend you on that all the time. You're that way. Lily, it's amazing. There are people that have experiences like that, but you're doing something about it. And quick, too. I guess they want you to earn everything that you want, as well as do expose what's going on in disguise. And you are. Mm-hmm. And I don't get any real negativity from you. I don't get any philosophy, which is good. Did they encourage you to vet everything and to also challenge whoever comes to you? Because you're an important player now. And if they are the positive ones, and I hope they are, because there are positive ones, believe me. But you know that. Did they tell you to... have a closer relationship with your guides and angels so that you're directed to where you need to be, because you seem to be in the right place at the right time. Thank you, George.
Yeah,
thank you, George.
Yeah, thank you. It definitely encouraged. Then I began learning more about the spiritual realm and that we all have guides and that this was, you know, my star family and the star beings were part of that too. And yeah, I've definitely developed a close relationship and believe that I'm divinely guided in this. And I know it in my heart, you know, in my intuition helps.
It's amazing how this has all evolved, just merely witnessing and taking photographs and how much knowledge you've gained, Lily, with all of this. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls. Lily's website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And we'll be back in a moment with Lily Nova and take final calls as we talk about her UFO experience, but definitely get up to our website to take a look at some of her pictures that she sent us about these craft. Fantastic. On our next Coast to Coast program, noted Hollywood director Oliver Stone joins us along with Jim DiGiulio, who will be talking about their new documentary on JFK in that tragic moment of November 22nd, 1963. And then later on in the program, Dr. Ken Hansen joins us as we talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Lily Nova with us. We are back with our final calls here. Lily, most of these pictures that you take, are they in the St. Louis area?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over what areas are you at?
So I venture out toward, well, St. Peter's area. I go out further out from the city to get into more rural areas, but you know, yeah, mostly around St. Peter's area.
Okay, well, of course the airport's pretty close to that, but these don't look like planes.
No, yeah. Yeah, definitely not. A lot of them, they it's like they manifest, and some of them even morph. a majority of the photos that I sent you are a bit further out, bush wildlife. There's an astronomy park out near there.
Yeah.
So it's more rural, and I've caught a lot of photos and had a lot of encounters out that way, too.
When they disappear, when they leave, how do they disappear?
It seems like they're possibly skipping into another dimension. Or I've seen some that kind of just fade out, or they may go by maybe quickly, but then some of them, it has been very quick. And some of the photos that I've taken, like I would take a time lapse for taking a bunch of photos in a row, and they're just there for like a few seconds, and they either cloak or, you know, just pop in then out, it seems like.
All right, let's take final calls for you. We go to Chester, New Jersey. Hello, Charlie, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, George. I have a UFO story for Lily. Lily, I want to say I agree 100%. I think this is all about divinity, these UFO sightings, only I have a little different slant on the divinity story. The UFO sighting I had in 1975, I believe, was sent by the God because he wanted to cause Armageddon to start. And the UFO was sent to try to kill the Earth. And the goddess, Mother Nature, who duels with the God, didn't want Armageddon, so she didn't let Armageddon happen. So the UFO got countered and didn't take effect. But there's another thing about the UFO, an interesting thing also. The UFO is actually one of God's soldiers.
What do you think of that,
Lily?
It's
the form of a UFO.
Yeah, I feel like with some of these beings that I've seen, it seems to be a thin line between maybe extraterrestrial or higher dimensional and the more like angelic-like. So definitely interconnected. And I think that there have been some negative ETs in the past that have kind of maybe fought over the Earth. But I think where we're heading right now, where all those are leaving, and we're going into a very positive space towards evolution, revolution, and enlightenment.
At no point, Lily, did you ever feel threatened, right?
The first one, when it popped up at my house and went above my head, that kind of like freaked me out.
That's only because you didn't know what you were looking at.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know now, would you say it was hostile?
No, I think it was just the shock. But the curiosity has always outweighed any fear for me. I knew, you know, I felt a calling towards it.
If they came down and told you we're going to take you away for 3 Earth years, would you go?
I'd probably be like, okay.
You would go, huh? As long as you could bring your camera with you, right?
Yeah, as long as I could take pictures and then, you know, share the experience with everyone.
We've got Gary in St. Augustine, Florida, first-time caller. Hi, Gary. You with us? Nope, there's no Gary. He disappeared. They took him. John is in North Carolina. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Hey, Lily. It's an honor to speak with you both.
You too, John. Go ahead.
Big fan since the Art Bell days. I spoke to him once about a Dr. Mack's interview with the kids in South Africa.
It was really nice. That was a classic. Yeah.
I have a question for Lily about her Instagram, but I'd like to first tell you about my first UAP sighting back in 1996.
Okay.
I was driving to a party, a Labor Day party on Route 20 up in North Jersey in Thompson Plains, and I was going to be passing Oakland, New Jersey, where the Wanakee Reservoir is. And as I'm getting closer to the hill where the reservoir is, just beyond the hill, I noticed a strip of 8 white orbs hovering above the area, about 300 yards above the water, and they were strobing up and down in a random pattern. It was really exciting to see that because, you know, I'd always been interested in UFOs and always wanted to see something. And as I'm looking at it, I'm telling myself, I can't believe I'm actually seeing this, you know, and in the back of my mind, I'm, what is this? What is this thing? I'll figure it out, but I never did. And when I got to the party, I told everybody what I saw, and they were like, they weren't surprised at all, because supposedly there's a lot of UFO sightings up there in North Jersey. Interestingly enough, in the next couple of days, I read in USA Today that 30 years previously, there was a major sighting above that reservoir of a glowing orb hovering above it where the police got involved. The military blocked off all the roads in the area. And, you know, it was a big interesting story back then. I just thought it was such a, not a coincidence, but it was interesting that it all happened to me right around that time.
That's a great story. And it's interesting, Lily, how many incredible UFO cases there are out there.
So many, and it's so awesome hearing everybody else's stories, and there's so many commonalities, too.
Absolutely. Tom, you've got a text or tweet for Lily. What do you got?
Yeah, Lily, this one in from Karen in Deming, New Mexico. She says, please have Lily discuss the thought patterns, or what she thinks are the thought patterns of the typical extraterrestrial.
That's an interesting question. I would say I feel like the teacher vibe from them, at least the ones that I've connected with. They are here to help guide us and teach us, and they won't mess with you if you are afraid or closed-minded. You have to be open to it and, you know, have pure intention, and I think that they've told me that humans are very special, and we have a lot of untapped potential, and I think that they are here to help us to remember who we are, how we are connected with them. And so, yeah, I feel a very teacher, sensei type vibe from them. And also, I've never felt such unconditional love, like anytime. The peace and bliss and love that I have felt from connecting with these beings is just incredible.
Let's go to Lisa in Indiana. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi, Lily. I have three questions. One of them, this is from your YouTube video. Watched it earlier. One of the things you said was that God came to you. What brought about that contact? What was the experience like? And what convinced you that it was God?
So this is when, after, you know, the UFOs had been visiting me more and more, and then I began meditating, and that's when I began receiving visions. So I was focusing hard on just, I wanted to learn everything that they could teach me, and they began communicating more spiritual or universal topics, like that we are all one, we are all connected, and as I was meditating and I would begin receiving these visions, then I saw angels, and then I saw Jesus. And I think what they were trying to tell, what they were communicating with me, is that all of these beings do exist, and it's all connected. We could connect with these beings, and also that with, you know, for the biblical term, you know, the coming back of Christ. They communicated with me that the coming back of Christ was actually Christ consciousness, a level of consciousness within all of us, and each and every person can access this and have this relationship and, you know, kind of activate that within themselves. And just the seeing, being able to see these through the visions, and the feeling I got, you know, I bawled my eyes out. and have plenty of times. It feels too real to be anything else, but I've definitely had to pinch myself, and it took maybe a few times of hearing some things for me to be like, okay, I believe it. But
Folks, yeah. Lily, tell folks about your website when they go to it. What can they see? Can they buy some of these pictures?
Yeah, so at lilynovaspaceart.com, I have some of my astrophotography. I have some prints. I have digital downloads if you want to use for a screensaver on your phone, some of my space photos. And I also have merchandise that I've created for, you know, space-themed merchandise, starseed merchandise, UFO merchandise, and it's growing. I want to, you know, help fuel this movement and get the word spread. So I've got merchandise on there, too, and I also have a tab for CE5 or Making Contact, and I will be adding more tips and resources and content.
Super. Thanks, Lily. Appreciate it. The website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. A couple of weeks ago when we had our special luncheon, a woman came up to me and said, I miss that piece you used to play where everybody laughed at the end. Please, we need it. So we have a little time. Here it is.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala, just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse, and she's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman she's hitting him like she's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in its side. Oh, there's another one that it's a little woman who looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bid bag. She's beating him. She's got this U-bid bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black person still. Oh, pieces of it. Okay, he's up on the car. little old woman just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him as he's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
Very infectious, isn't it? For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.